Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Okay, I'm going to begin. And I don't know if anyone is as old as me. And when I say that, I really love my age. And I love the journey that I've been on. And I love what I've experienced. And I love that I can have this age and still feel young and enjoy life and make a difference on the earth. But you may remember a magazine called Personality Magazine. Well, I'm crazy. You know, I've got memories from when I was 5 years old, and I don't know exactly what my age was, but we had a personality magazine, and I paid through the magazine, and I saw a beautiful, gorgeous, tall, dark, and handsome man. And I decided that's the kind of guy I'm going to marry. That is it. I'm going to marry a tall, dark, and handsome man. The only thing is, I didn't know how tall I was going to get. And so I did marry a tallish, dark, and handsome man. And that's on our wedding night, where we are cutting the cake. You can see Jesus has done some major transformation from the inside out. I think we all wonder and have dreams, as Nelly said. We all have dreams and we wonder what the future holds for us, particularly as you step out of school, and even while you're in school, and you dream about your future, and you know, those are all blessings from God that are God-given, to dream dreams and to use your imagination, and particularly when you trust Him. You know, these words that we hear and we see on our t-shirts, the best is yet to come. You know, that is a very true statement. Even when you go through a season, because everyone goes through seasons, Ecclesiastes prepares us and says there's a time for everything under heaven. No one will escape sorrow and pain and hardship, but we don't stay there and we don't live there. Now, when I was 5 years old, because I don't remember this memory that much, but Tony Bennett in 1958 sang the famous song, "The Best Is Yet to Come." Da, da, da. Now, I never knew the song until I watched Strictly Come Dancing, and then I saw, wow, that's really quite nice moves going on there. And those words, I heard Pastor Brian speak those words, but they were spoken in 1958 when I was 5 years old. And then, of course, in 1964, Frank Sinatra, old Blue Eyes, made it famous. Well, it's a very loaded quote, really. Because let me just put it to you this way. If you have someone who's not well in your world and they're not going to remain with us, the best is yet to come if they know Jesus. Can I put it to you this way? Because, you know, we're just a hair breadth away from eternity. And actually, that is why we're here tonight, because we are getting ready for that day when we step into eternity, but we live the abundant life. And we have dreams, and we know God has incredible plans for our lives. Who believes that God has amazing plans for our lives? Because He says He has. Plans to bless us. Plans to give us a hope. Plans to give us a future. Amen? And so that quote, "The best is yet to come," is true if we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. If we walk in obedience to Him. If we abide in Him, if we do not forsake Him and turn away from Him, the best certainly is yet to come. Longevity in my life and Pastor Andre's life has proven that as we hang in through the bitter times, the hard times, the good times, the ups and the downs, that eventually you come through and you see success in your life and you see that God is truly the good Father that we always sing that He is. So the title for tonight's message is called Eyes Wide Open to the Future. I had a longer title, but I've shortened it slightly. And I have an anonymous quote that says, "Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. Amen? We know He holds our future. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen? And that's how it is for us. So my first thought this evening is our future success does not just happen. It takes vision, work, and planning. I look at Nelly, and I know that she went on to do nursing in her earlier days, but it took, what did it take from her? It took vision. It took her seeing, in spite of her circumstances, that she's going to achieve, and it took her to work and to plan. And then I thought I'd just share with you the importance of both personal and corporate vision. And we haven't spoken about, I don't know, we spoke last year, Seeing Beyond, maybe you touched on vision, I can't remember. But the importance of both personal and corporate vision. You know, as a church, we have a corporate vision. You know, when you run a business, you have a corporate vision. When you run a household, you have a corporate vision. But then you also have your personal, your very personal vision for your own life. So my first thought under vision is vision, if you have a vision, vision prevents drifting. Last month, I spoke about seeing the invisible. Jonathan Swift says, and on your T-shirt, it's the art of seeing what is invisible to others. And we've got to ask God to help us. Amen? We've got to ask God to help us imagine our futures, our success. You know, Pastor Andre helped me immensely because I'm just wired slightly differently to him. So when I think about this building, like before we even bought this land, he was walking in this building. He was sitting in this building and he was preaching in this building. Who can say they can do that? Not quite me, but we learn and we're in the process of learning and dreaming and seeing, and maybe it starts with little steps and smaller things. You know, when we have a vision, why it will prevent drifting is we know where we are heading and what it will take to get there. We know where we are heading, and it will take something, it will take the vision, the work, and the planning. Secondly, vision prevents problems. But we will have problems. Jesus said, in this world you will have problems, but I have overcome the world. You know, it helps us to solve the problems that arise from our lives. For instance, lack of money. So if we have a vision to build a house, but we're lacking money, or to buy a house, what do we do? Vision says, you know what, we've got to bite the bullet. That is a term Pastor Andre uses a lot. We are biting the bullet for the next 3 months because we're putting in double glazing because I can't take the dogs barking my head off while I'm busy preparing ministry, you know? And so that's what vision does. He sees the double glazing and then we bite the bullet for a couple of months and we just cut back and we just say, we never stop giving to God. We just say, Lord, you're first in everything. But when it comes to us, we can do without a new pair of shoes. We can do without a manicure. We can do without, we can't do without, I can't do without my Cindy over there. But you know what? When you have a vision and you know where you're going, it definitely will prevent problems in your life. Problems, you know, when you have problems and you don't have a vision, let's put it that way. When you have problems and you don't have a vision, people get into despair or they go into pleasure. So they start maybe grabbing the bottle and then they begin to self-destruct. So they just drink themselves into oblivion or they get hold of substances or they hang out with people that they shouldn't be hanging out. They hang out at parties that are not pleasing to God or whatever. But that only happens when you don't have a vision, right? You know what to do. You can see what you have to do. And poverty in people's lives often kills vision. So they drink and they live for the moment, you know? And they live for the now. Like if I can just get through today or tonight, but they don't actually see that tomorrow. You know, Jesus is in our tomorrow and he's drawing us towards himself. That is why every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Proverbs 29:18, in your version that you've got in your notes, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But you know, the NIV says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So, you know what? Where there is no vision for your life, where there is no dream for your life, where there is no future for your life, the people perish. They cast off restraint. They just let it all hang out, whatever, you know. I'll just have a fling here and a fling there and, you know, it's just live and let live. You know, someone like that, sadly, as much as we care about people like that and we do love people like that, they do not have a vision for their lives. Amen. And that is why it is important for us to have a vision, corporate and personal. And you know, it's good for all of us to note that human beings, to a lesser or greater degree, need a personal vision, or we too will in a measure be running wild, right? And we won't be harnessing our energy, time, and money for a goal. It's good to have a goal. It's good to have a dream, and it's good to put into place what is necessary to achieve that goal. And do not quit. Keep going. Keep going. You know, we never quit. I know Adi and Claire are now pioneering in Belita and understanding a lot about our lives and how we had to put up with all kinds of situations. You know, when the church is smaller, you get people who know better how to run the church. But they haven't given up anything. They haven't made the sacrifices. They haven't had the vision for it. They just have a certain amount of knowledge that isn't necessary, what is helping someone. You know, it says that people are there at church, leaders are there to hold up the arms of Moses, the leaders. That's what helps us win the battles, amen? When you have a vision, you keep going. Moses had a vision. Even though he didn't enter the promised land, he had a vision and he kept going. Okay. Where am I? Number three. Vision produces sacrifice. You see people who make sacrifices, immediately you say to yourself, those people have a vision for their lives. Immediately. When people are not being stingy towards God and towards the poor and the needy, but they're beginning to say, no, I'm sorry. You know, if someone just says, we had a farewell today at church for Carol from the Resource Center, 12 years in in the ministry, helping us, carrying the load, fantastic. But as I said, the cupcakes and all the things out there were weapons of mass destruction for our hips. You know, and if you have a vision, you're going to say, no. No, I'm not going to do that. Are you with me? I'm not condemning anyone who gorged themselves at that star farewell. But you know what? If you have a vision, you make sacrifice. As I said, you cut back. You save money. If you want to achieve something like tennis in sport, it takes... You can't be lying on bed watching Netflix. You've got to get out there. You've got to warm up. You've got to hit that ball. You've got to let the coach tell you what to do. You've got to let the coach tell you you're not cracking it. Do you know that, like Pastor Andre and I are a little bit like that? If we don't crack it, we make sure we crack it. That even gives us a bigger incentive to get this thing done. And so, you know, sacrificing, serving. People who serve, you know what? I look at the beautiful people. I see your faces before me, and I watch you. And, you know, as you serve in God's house, it's like a fragrance that goes up to God, but it looks beautiful. It's a sacrifice. But you know why? Because people who serve have a vision for this house, for God, for his people, and it's beautiful. And that is what vision does. You know, people who see a preferred future for their lives, you know, you can see a preferred future. You know what? I prefer a future where there's peace in the house. You know what? I prefer a future where my marriage is good. I prefer a future where my children are all speaking to each other and to me. That's my preferred future. And I know what God wants me to do. And it motivates me, right? And it motivates me to give up useless things, useless thoughts, thoughts that go over and over and over and over in my mind, and sacrifice time and energy to achieve it, even if it's on my knees praying for family members who are not seeing what I'd like to achieve in my life. I hope I'm helping someone here this evening. Samuel Johnson said, "The future is purchased by the present." You know, we in our future that maybe we dreamed about 10, 15, 20 years ago. Think, go back in your mind. You don't like to go back in your mind too much because we're not meant, you know, we're not meant to go there actually. But it's good to remember. The Lord says, remember. in Psalms. Remember the goodness of the Lord. It's good to have a remembrance of the things God does, but it's also good to look back only for one reason, how far God has brought you, and keep going. Amen? And so the choices we make today, the investment of our time in studies and training, will bring about success in our future. Number four, vision produces serving. We have learned from Pastor Andre that business people are actually serving the community, and they get paid for it. It's service delivery. If you want to have a successful business, serve the people, right? If you are a florist, serve the people. Find the freshest, the most beautiful, and the most beautiful vases that you can, and as you give it to them, if they're waiting for it, you pop an extra rose in. Serve the people. They'll come back. Not only will they love what you've done, they love the atmosphere that you're creating in your business. They love the feeling that they get when they go there. And so I want to encourage you, you know, vision for serving. Successful churches are where people serve God and serve people and serve the house. Amen. Number five, vision produces strength. It empowers us to keep going because we can see where we're going. Vision fuels you. You know, I was talking to Sean today. Sean is on our staff. He's on our senior team. And we were talking about Middle Earth. And what happened was, in 2003, we had enough money through some gifted givers in our house who made it available for us just to do the foundation. Jenny, you will remember. So in 2003, we laid the foundation of the building next door. And for one whole year, if not slightly more, that whole place lay dormant. And Pastor Andre would say to me, oh, wow, I can just hear my enemy say now, he started something and he cannot finish it. And we just said, no, we're going to trust God. And then we went over. Pastor Andre was invited to speak for his first opportunity at Hillsong in Sydney. And he shared there, and Pastor Brian was a huge encouragement to him. And then just, you know, he's got this voice, Andre. What are you doing with your building, you know? And Andre explained to him and said, look, we don't have the money. You know, we don't have the money. And of course, we were reminded the money's in the house. You go back and Andre, you get onto it. And Pastor Andre came back all fueled. He was like Superman, the movie, you know? He was all fueled and we devised plans and we just found a way. We discovered something called debentures where people took loans off their bonds and gave it to the church and we paid it back with interest. And some people turned around and said, we don't want it back. And that's just, you know, when you have a vision, that's my point. When you have a vision, you step out, you devise a plan, you find ways. Was I at number four? Was I at number five? I'm like Peps now, bingo. Number six. Vision produces success. Success. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you can see this was not even part of my message because we don't even have a visual of him up on behind me. But I so distinctly remember, just as I'm standing here, I remember him saying when he was a bodybuilder, I remember him saying, I saw myself winning that cup, that trophy. I saw myself lifting those weights. I saw myself on the podium and I saw myself winning. And you know what? That may sound very like, ooh, is this one of those churches, you know, those weird sort of new agey? No. I want to tell you something. Jesus saw himself on that cross, dying for the sins of the world. Amen? Amen? So vision produces success. We are not waiting for things to come, right? We are going out towards what we can see, we can achieve, and this drives and propels us towards success. Vision sees what is possible and goes towards it. That is why my husband wrote a book called Finding a Way to Win, and I am the biggest fan of that book because I drive him crazy with that book. I drive him crazy because I ask him to do things and he says, I don't think if I can do it. And I say, well, I know a man who wrote a book. It's a beautiful book. It's called Find a Way to Win. Those were all points under point number one, which said our future success does not just happen. It takes vision, work, and planning. Number two, the future is an opportunity yet unmet, a path yet untraveled, and a life yet unlived. And I love what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, we sang tonight, I don't know if I can, but I know you. You know, if God is known by you, you don't need to fear your future. You don't need to. You just need to know that He has your future. Amen? And He has it in His hands. And as I said, no one's future is perfect or easy. And there is always a season under heaven that we need to go through. There's a time for everything. Number three, how our future will be lived, what opportunities will be met, what paths traveled, depends on the priorities and purposes of life today. And I think I am reiterating the points that I've said before, the choices we make, right? It all depends on what we do today. You know, Pastor Andre and I were 41 years of age. I was born the day he was conceived. Now you know, okay? So, my first son was born in 1973, and in those days, you know, when you used to go to the clinic for your gynae checkups and all of that, they handed out a book about breastfeeding and then also milk if you can't feed, and then, you know, they advertise, and then they also gave you the graph, and they say if your last period was, on that date, then, you know, your baby will be born on that date. And it just turned out that the day I was born, he was conceived. How cool is that? So I'm exactly 9 months older than him. So I think I correct myself in saying, when I was 41 and he was only 40, we traveled overseas for the very, very first time. What has that got to do with anything? It's got to do with vision. And it's got to do with the future. Let me get to what it has to do with, okay? So, you know what? Here's the thing. Aren't you shocked at that? I mean, 40 and 41, we're traveling for the very first time on standby tickets. You know why? We had a girl in church who worked for SAA, and she didn't have family members. She was orphaned, so, you know, she treated us like mom and dad. God bless her. And she got us standby tickets. That means you go to the airport and you hope and pray. Because you don't have paying tickets. And so we went to the airport and we prayed and we got onto the plane and we went to our first ever trip overseas to a conference in Singapore. And then, strangely enough, ever since then, every year, that was 95, 96, 97, right up until today, God has given us the privilege of traveling, and here's my point. That has never been my priority, but it's been my dream. It's been my dream and a vision for my life to travel one day and to see churches and to visit churches and to meet other people. It's fantastic. But you know what? My priority has always been just to be a support to my husband and to stand by him. And you know what? I have not chased those opportunities. I have chased God. And I want to encourage you tonight. You chase God and those opportunities will come your way. Those doors will open. You know, you listen to people sometimes and you wonder, what? You know what? That the opportunities that open to them. I've got friends that have been to the White House. You know, I've got friends that have been to have tea with the Queen. I think one of them might be sitting in this auditorium. Jenny, I know, has had tea with the Queen. But I know also Marilyn Skinner has had tea with an audience with the Queen. Not because she's chased it, but because she had a vision for a life to make a difference on the earth, and God has just opened those opportunities. So one of the thoughts that I just have, which is not a point in your notes, but just to say, you chase God, and he will give you the opportunities that you could only have dreamed of, right? So we read about a woman whose vision didn't line up with the word of God. And, you know, she just simply had her own priorities. And she's Lot's wife. In Genesis 19, 26, it says, Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Let me explain. Lot and his family were living in a place called Zoar, which were in the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there were things happening in those cities that did not please God. And God decided that he was going to destroy those cities. And he said it, and he did it. But because of Lot being in one of those cities, Abraham, his uncle or cousin, you never know. It's like with, you never know. With Esther, is Mordecai her uncle? Some Bible says it's her uncle. Sorry, I'm wasting time. cousin, uncle, whatever. But Abraham, who was a man of faith, a righteous man, went to God and said, you know, if you had 50 people who were righteous, would you save the city? And he said, I would consider it. And so they went right down to 10 and so forth. And then finally God said, you know what? I'm actually going to ask the righteous Lot and his family to remove themselves out of those places. And I want them to move swiftly. I'm sending angels. Angels are going to lead them. I want them out of that place. They are not to look back. But you see, I look at Lot's wife. And I think to myself, you know what? She didn't see this. Her eyes were not wide open to the future. God was saying, I'm saving you. I'm rescuing you. I'm giving you a new beginning. I'm taking you to a new place. And because I'm God, it's going to be better than where you've ever been here, right? And so what did she do? She didn't move quickly because she lagged behind. And she looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. You know, today, I've never been there, but if you go to the hills where the destruction took place, there's a place called Jebel Uzdam, and there stands what they believe to be the pillar of salt known as Lot's wife. Now, Pastor Devin and I were talking about the height of this, and you made, like me, when I first saw it years ago, think, ah, oh, that's just ridiculous. But you know what? There was sulfur, there was all kinds of things happening that could have attached itself to that. And you may say, and this is another story maybe for another time, but why would God do something like that? I think the lesson for us is, you know, when God rescues people, we are not meant to go back. We are not meant to go back. When he rescued Israel, you know, they were under slavery with Pharaoh. They often complained. We often hear Pastor Andre speak about this. They were actually in rebellion, and God dealt with people like that. Because I think it hurts the heart of God. When he rescues you out of your Egypt, out of your world, out of your mindset, you know, I'm talking about just, you know, your way of thinking, right? Your behavior, your lifestyle. Don't go back there. It's not a physical place here for us. Go back to your hometown. And go show off your nice figure, your nice car. Go show off how successful you are in a godly way. Go back and visit your relatives, your neighbors. Go back there. But don't stay there and don't go back. Don't shrink back to who you were when you were there. Right? You keep growing. You keep having vision. You keep seeing. And God, I think, gets hurt when we, you know, get to our Red Sea and we hesitate. And we turn back. You know, our Red Sea was moving up from Cape Town 25 years ago. Both our mothers lived, my family was there. Long story short, read the book, Small Beginnings. I don't know if you have already, but whatever. You know, the point I'm making is it was a Red Sea for us, but God parted that. And you know what? We had moments after we had gone through that Red Sea where God taught us you will have many Red Seas. You will have a Red Sea moment several times, you know. And I just felt when I was preparing, you know, if you are at your Red Sea, I really believe God is saying to you, keep going. I will part the water for you. I will make a way where there seems to be no way, right? and you will come through. You know, we, for us, Rivers Durban North was a Red Sea. Belita was a Red Sea, but we've gone through with it. And that's apt to say, we've gone through with it. We committed completely to the building, to buying, and to doing what we're doing, and sending a couple there and an intern. But now, quickly, with a few minutes that I have left, there's a woman I want you to look at who did have a personal vision, which did line up with the Word of God. She made an incredible success of her life. She had her eyes wide open, and she was the Proverbs 31 woman. Even though we might read that Proverbs 31 and not like her and say to her, if I could slap you now, I would slap you right now because you freak me out. Let me remind you, she's a company of women. She's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is that perfect. My husband set me free several years ago by telling me that, okay? Although things have switched. You know, I used to be a night owl. Now I'm like it's the other way around. I'm like early in the morning, early at night. I used to be late at night, late in the morning. Proverbs 31. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her with reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons and enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. I like her, I really do. She's up before dawn, preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. In fact, the NIV says, preparing breakfast for her family and her servant girls. I know it's not a politically correct thing to say, but the NIV said that, okay? She looks over a field and buys it, and then with the money she's put aside, she plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work and in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need. Reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silk. Her husband is greatly respected because you know why? Because you know why? Behind every successful man, just saying. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings a sweater she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. Look up. She faces tomorrow with a smile. She smiles at the future. When she speaks, she has nothing worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her, and her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her with praises. What makes her a woman who sees the future? Number one, she has a vision for her marriage. I've read you those verses. I've got them in brackets for you. You know, our attitudes, girls, sets the tone for our homes. Can I say that? If I wake up grumpy, he wakes up grumpy. We set the tone, right? What I sow, I reap. I create the atmosphere, and I light the candles in the bedroom. Number two, he ain't never gonna light them candles. And I'm speaking in general terms. She has vision for her household. You know what? We model, girls, we model the work ethic for our daughters that we would like them to have, right? We teach the values that we have and want them to have. And it's not all just about cooking and cleaning and baking. You know, she has staff to balance things out in the home. And so she has a vision for a household. Number three, she has a vision for business and hard work. She has. She's a businesswoman. She's perfect. It's almost sickening, but there it is in the Word of God. It says her vision It says in my notes, I've written these words. Her vision is to make a profit, and she considers a field. I wish I had more time. I don't know how I've ran out of, I've got seconds. She considers a field because she does not squander money. When you have a vision, you do not just blow it all. You consider a field and you say to yourself, if I can afford it, I will buy it, right? That is what a woman with vision does. And you know, next, number four. She has vision for the poor. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor. She's a beautiful woman. Number five, she has vision for the future. We already said that she smiles at the future because you know why? She's confident in her God and she knows that she has his approval. She does, right? And she prepares for the winter darkness and cold seasons. Winter darkness and cold seasons, not just the physical winter and the cold seasons, but winter darkness, storms and difficulties that we will face in our future. Number six, she has vision for her presentation and self-esteem. You know, it's a good thing to look nice. You know, I admire the girls with the saris. I admire the African girls with the beautiful headgear and African print. And, it always tells me that there's elegance and effort has been taken. And you know what? Torn jeans are, like we've had people up here with torn jeans, okay? I've got a pair too, but I think sometimes there's a time and a place for it for me, my age, personally. Please don't be put off on me. But you can dress up torn jeans, can you not? And if you're going for an interview, don't have a slapdash attitude. Everything about you says something about you. Amen? Man looks on the outside. You can't change that. God's the only one who looks on the inside, right? So that is so important. So for her self-esteem and presentation. Number seven. She has vision for her eternal future. She is a woman who fears God. And you know what? King Lemuel's mother told him, if you find a woman like her, she's rare and she's hard to find, but it is possible. I pray that you and I are a woman with a vision and a future. It says in, you can close your notes, but I'll just read to you, Matthew Henry Concise Bible Commentary, my favorite, says her heart is full of another world. I think we'll do a t-shirt like that next month. Where are you, Janita? Her heart is full of another world, even when her hands are most busy about this world. Amen? We can't be so heavenly minded that we are not of any earthly good. We've got to have it where we are of earthly good, but our hearts are full of another world.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.